Berkshire County's hit music station, Live 95.9. The election, the very important election, is coming up on November 8th between Trump and Hillary. There's also four questions on the Massachusetts state ballot. Question number four, should we legalize marijuana for recreational use? The state of Colorado has done it. I don't live there. Marjo's brother lives there.
Yes, in Fort Collins.
In Fort Collins. And have they seen any benefits from the legalization of recreational use of marijuana in Colorado?
You know, I know
you're aware of.
I know that the state's making a fair amount of money on tax revenue from it, but besides that,
right?
Not necessarily.
Now we've had we've had Andrew McKenna on the show talking about the opioid crisis. Who are you're friends with Dr. Jennifer Michaels? Welcome to the show from the Brain Center. With you've seen the United Way billboards again. You had said that you've been doing them for years, but people are just starting to notice now. One in 16s, when they start using marijuana, will become addicted. The prevention movement from alcohol and marijuana has been going on for years, but we're just starting to notice it now. It's kind of funny, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting to us from Berkshire United Way's perspective that we've had a drug-free community grant since 2007. We've been doing billboards on alcohol. The marijuana ones have been up for quite some time. We had a speaker on marijuana back in 2013, so we've had this conversation going on. For whatever reason, I guess because of the ballot question, people are now paying attention,
sure.
And there's a lot of conversation.
Right.
So that's okay.
Did you see the woman who posted on Facebook, step down Berkshire United Way, stop being political, this has nothing to do with you? You've seen that?
Oh, we've seen.
Have you
lots
responded?
Lots of comments.
Yeah. Yes.
What we've been doing is, if something is stated factually incorrectly, we will comment to that. So
When
people say you can't lobby as a 501c3, you're going to lose your IRS certificate. That's not true. There's all sorts of regulations around lobbying, but we absolutely can lobby. You can't use federal funds, and so we're not using federal funds when we say vote no, but when we put billboards up, which are educational, not only can we use federal funds, that's what the federal funds are for. We have a grant for drug-free communities to reduce marijuana use. We also have a state grant that was given to us this year to increase our efforts to reduce marijuana use by adolescents. And so it's all legit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, we'll comment if somebody says something that's erroneous. We've also had some very inappropriate comments, and you know we take those down and try to contact those people individually.
Right, I see.
You know, it's fine to voice your opinion, but be a grown-up about it, you know, be an adult about it.
Yeah, I think when people need to use foul language about it, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's, you know, we
you're making yourself
to,
sound stupid.
For sure,
yeah.
So, the Eagle, I believe, had put out an article yesterday on their Facebook page. With the respect to the Eagle, I did not read the article. I did read the headline, and it said something like, the drug war has failed.
Yeah.
It would be a regressive stance to vote no on question four to make marijuana legal. Now, you guys had reached out to me and said, listen, you know, do we mind coming on the air and talking about the facts about marijuana? I said, absolutely. Of course, it would be, you know, for great radio. So can you tell us why we should vote no on question four?
Sure. I'm going to take these off.
Yeah, sure.
That's okay.
There are many reasons to vote no. I think that what's happening is people are thinking about voting with their hearts, their feelings, but they don't have the facts. And the facts are, as we demonstrate to kids that it's not a risky drug, it's safe, which is not true, we're seeing skyrocketing use in kids. And that's the most vulnerable population here, because when kids use early, they actually damage their brains. I mean, there's a study that shows that when kids start in their early teens, by the time they're in their 30s, their IQ has lowered 8 points. So that's a lot of lost IQ points. That's important. We have to think about not just ourselves. We have to think about the next generation. And we have to realize that the marijuana from the 1970s was about 1.7% potent, and the marijuana today is about 12% potent. So there's a very dramatic change in how this drug affects our bodies and our brains.
Now, how do you battle the alcohol versus marijuana question? Because they say, well, you know, I mean, people, you know, overuse alcohol or misuse alcohol, and that's legal. You know, I've never seen anyone, you know, beat up their wife when they're high. You know, respond to that?
Well, alcohol is very problematic. I'll give you an example. If you drink and drive, you quadruple your risk of a car crash. Mm-hmm. So what about marijuana? If you smoke and drive, you double your risk of a car crash. So, you know, in some ways, yeah, marijuana is less dangerous, but it's still dangerous. Are we giving the message, well, you know, this is less bad, so let's do it? That's the wrong message. The right message is, this isn't good for us, let's not do it.
Can I just jump in real quick?
Sure.
On that too? From our perspective at Berkshire United Way, with the alcohol prevention we're trying to do, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, if we knew everything we know now about alcohol, for example,
right,
we would probably have different regulations. But that ship has sailed. Look at what's going on with cigarettes. We've learned so much. And thank goodness all these efforts have reduced cigarette use. And now we're, you know, increasing the age. The brain development isn't fully developed till 25. Maybe we would say the legal age should be 25. But again, ship has sailed. There's only so much we can do. So that theory to me is just, you know, saying two wrongs make a right.
Yes, I assumed you were going to say that. Like, well, listen, you know, listen, alcohol is already legal. We can't do anything about that now. So why, you know, add more?
Well, and I think we have to recognize we have a pro-drug nation. We have a cultural issue. We're 5% of the world's population. We consume 25% of the world's illegal drugs. So you know, we have this philosophy that it's okay, it's not so bad. But there's a problem when we're engaging in all this substance use. And I think voting for recreational marijuana will increase the problem.
Now, how would you respond to this question? Like, people who use regularly illegal drugs like cocaine or marijuana would say, or people who don't use those drugs, I'm of the opinion that they don't use them, not because they're illegal, they just don't want to use them.
Right.
So it's not like, you never hear someone say, oh no, I don't do cocaine, it's illegal.
Right.
You know? So how would, you are of the opinion, Dr. Michaels, that legalizing marijuana would absolutely increase usage of smoking?
We're seeing that already. That's already happening. As we make it more available, we have more people using. And so for example, in adults, use has doubled in the last 10 years or so as we decriminalize, we legalize, we think of it as a less risky drug. So we're seeing more and more use. We're seeing that in our teens. And as Chris said, we're doing a great job with decreasing alcohol and cigarette use in teens. But because of our culture, our pro-marijuana culture, we're seeing teens pick up marijuana more and more. So I think we have to look at our attitudes about marijuana and question them.
Can you speak on the medical use of marijuana? Because obviously there's a lot of negatives that you've pointed out of marijuana use. But, you know, as a doctor, do you recognize the medical benefits of it?
So it's very confusing because we talk about medical marijuana and we think about smoking a joint or a blunt as a medicine. The reality is the vast majority of studies that evaluate medical marijuana don't evaluate that. They evaluate cannabidiol or another specific component within the marijuana plant. And sometimes it's helpful. So, for example, with nausea and vomiting related to chemotherapy or multiple sclerosis. But there are not studies looking at using marijuana, the whole plant. We're not there. We're not ready for prime time. And the other issue is it can cause problems. And for example, I'll give you an example, glaucoma. Marijuana reduces the pressure in your eye. So that sounds great. You know, that's what you need to do with glaucoma. The problem is you need to smoke it every 3 hours to consistently lower the pressure.
I see.
Through the night, so you have to wake up to smoke your marijuana, and it's psychoactive. It gets you high. We already have medicines that you put in your eye twice a day or three times a day, drops, that work and don't get you high. So, you know, there's a lot of this kind of vague medicine idea about marijuana when we already have medicines that work. We need to do our homework, and we're not. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
All right, we're on with Dr. Michaels from the Breen Center. And Chris from the Berkshire United Way talking about why people should cast a no vote on question four to legalize marijuana. We'll take a short break, continue the conversation coming up. Jump out of bed. All right, we're on with Chris Hazard from Berkshire United Way, Dr. Jennifer Michaels from the Breen Center, and our very timely and topical discussion on the legalization of marijuana vote for recreational use coming up on Election Day, November 8th, when we pick either Trump or Clinton. So we talked briefly about decriminalization of the drug and, you know, and how much I was in favor of that because... I mean, you know, these people's lives were being ruined for a marijuana charge, or you know, the record would go on and on. But so more on facts versus fiction. Why should we vote no on question four?
Okay, so in thinking about this, just imagine our neck of the woods and having a marijuana shop on every corner, and people walking down the street smoking marijuana. And your kids being exposed to that, and people in their cars driving while high. It's not what I wish for our community. And if you go to Oregon, if you go to Colorado, that's what it's like. There are more marijuana shops on the street than coffee shops. And, you know, that we can do better than that.
Your brother lives in Colorado.
Yeah.
Is that what he describes it like?
I mean, I've been there. That is factual that their dispensaries are literally... every block. I mean, there's no, it's unavoidable out there, basically.
We talked about drug testing. Now, alcohol never is tested for a job interview, right? Is that the case? Is that?
It's very hard. Some jobs may test. It's very hard to find it because it has a very narrow window of detection. But it can be tested.
I people have been... dishonorably discharged from the military. People have been fired from their jobs for having marijuana come up in their blood, which most people agree that it's a pretty harmless drug. And why, you know, I think there's a big comparison between alcohol and marijuana. Like, they kind of group it in the same thing. Like, why can he go home and have a couple of beers and I can't, you know, smoke a joint or take a couple of hits off a bowl? Or but you've come with some astounding facts that... First of all, the potency of marijuana is 600 times stronger than it was in the 70s.
Yes, that's very true. So it's not the same drug that many baby boomers are thinking about. It's a whole different drug with different effects.
The brain stops developing at the age of 25. There is a Addiction Center campus CEO in Malibu that said... I don't believe marijuana is a gateway drug. I would vote to legalize it. However, the age restriction should be 25, in my opinion. That's the owner of an addiction center. Can we talk about marijuana being a gateway drug? Are you of the opinion that marijuana is a gateway drug?
So anyone who has heard me speak has heard me say gateway is not a good term because it's too emotional a term, but let me tell you what it's like where I go to work, okay? I see people addicted to heroin, to opioid pills, and virtually every single person I treat initiated their drug use career with alcohol and marijuana, and it started at around age 11 or 12. So for all those people, that was their initiation, their starting point to this disease of addiction. Do most people who drink and smoke marijuana end up using heroin? No. But you can see that for people who are vulnerable, that is how it starts. And that's important.
And we had Rick Cresta, social worker out of Boston University, out here back in 2013. I think he was here again in 2014. And he said that, all he treats are adolescents who are involved in lots of different drugs. And he had never seen a heroin addict who hadn't smoked pot. He certainly was saying not everybody who smokes pot will become a heroin addict. But again, as Dr. Michaels said, the correlation for those who are addicted to opioids and heroin and what have you is that they had a movie, I don't know if you guys were at the BCC event where they had a movie about heroin addiction on Cape Cod.
Right.
And every single one of those folks they interviewed talked about starting with alcohol and marijuana when they were young. So there is, you know, again, sort of with those addictive personalities, as Dr. Michaels has described, this appears to be where they start their experimentation with alcohol and marijuana. I want to comment also on the job piece just real quick.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's federally still illegal. And so there are companies in our area, big companies, very successful companies, who have to drug test. It's part of their contract with the federal government. There's others who have to drug test because of OSHA regulations. And so people are losing their jobs because of this. And that's the reality of the situation we're in. You know, there's enough evidence that the feds are saying, or OSHA is saying, smoking marijuana and then, you know, running a machine is not a good idea.
No, no. And I would never condone recreational use of marijuana or alcohol during work. I mean, obviously that is an automatic no. But you have explained that it stays in your system. So
is it still affecting your behavior?
Correct. Is it still affecting your behavior?
Sorry to interrupt you.
Well, someone who smokes daily will and then stops will test positive for a whole month afterwards. So that's a problem. You may not be...
Test positive, right.
Test positive, but you may not be affected at all during the later parts of the month or after, you know, a week or so. So you're right that, you know, the detection is not always consistent with the experience of getting high. So it's not a perfect study, but that's part of the problem, is we cannot effectively figure out, how the blood level compares to the intoxication.
We're on with Chris Hazard from the Berkshire United Way, plus Dr. Jenny Michaels from the Breen Center, talking about why Massachusetts should vote no on question four.
How many other states is it legal in? Do you know? I'm sorry.
It's Colorado, Oregon.
It's Colorado, Oregon.
D.C.
Washington, D.C. is legal recreational.
And California, right?
I think that's medical.
Medical.
I also just want to say that it's important to think about marijuana and the effects on emotions and mental health, because many people who smoke then suffer a mental illness because they're smoking.
Can you talk? We talked about this off the air, and I want to talk about this before we wrap it up. Marijuana can unlock
a vulnerability for a mental illness. And we see this very frequently at the Breen Center, that people are smoking, thinking they're having fun, and they have their first panic attack while they're high.
That's exactly what happened to me.
You think you would have gotten a panic attack if you hadn't smoked?
Huh. No. Well, eventually maybe. But if someone is genetically predispositioned to a mental illness, marijuana can unlock that.
Yeah.
Like a key. So that's precisely what happened to me. 17 years old, it was Halloween night. All my friends were smoking marijuana. They were like, oh, you gotta try it. I smoked a good amount of it, didn't really feel anything, continued to smoke it, and then it was like, boom. Huge, major panic attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never felt anxiety like that. I didn't even know anxiety like that existed.
Right.
It also spiraled me into depression.
Depression, yeah.
Which I was like, whoa, and I couldn't believe, and I was treated for it, and I was fine ever since. Not really, no. but so when you said that, I was like, yep, absolutely. That is precisely what happened to me.
And that happens, and it happens with panic attacks, depression, suicidality, psychotic problems. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that everyone who smokes marijuana will have this happen, but it increases the likelihood dramatically. And so if we're thinking about our young people or people initiating, we've got to think about those consequences. It's not just a harmless herb.
A lot of people feel that way, though.
Well,
a lot.
Come visit me in my office and see the people who are not living that way with marijuana. They are suffering the consequences. They've graduated to other drugs. They're dealing with it. And you know, it's great if it's not a problem for you, but it's a problem for a lot of our community members.
And it's, go ahead.
Do you really think the legality of it is going to change that for people, though?
And that's a big question. Are people going to smoke more?
Yes, they
will. If they legalize it.
They will, yes. And we see that already in areas where it's legal or there's medical marijuana. We see a doubling of adult use. We see an increase in the use for teens. Mm-hmm. And when we perceive it as a less risky drug, we increase our use. And as I said before, we're 5% of the world's population. We use 25% of the world's illegal drugs. We are a pro-drug nation. So we're consumers. We're a great market for all the people who want to sell us drugs.
Yeah. Can't we just let the hippies have their time? You know, I mean, that's just unbelievable. Just
give me the it's not just the hippies, Slater. It's not just the hippies.
Dr. Michaels and Chris Hazard, thank you very much for coming on. It's been a it's been a good discussion for the last hour.
Thank you.
Vote no on four. Not a good idea, according to the Berkshire United Way and the Breed Center.
This is Berkshire County's hit music station, Live 95.9.